The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Today I want to say a few words about an oddly named bishop from an oddly named diocese, namely Bishop Polycarp of Smyrna. I cannot remember ever baptizing a baby named Polycarp. So if you are in the market of unique baby names, consider Polycarp for your child. And in the second century, meaning the 100s, he served as the bishop of Smyrna, which would be in modern-day Western Turkey. Our first reading was taken from Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, which records a letter to Smyrna. Now, St. Polycarp may be oddly named, but he is anything but obscure. In fact, he is a crucial link in a very important chain. He was the disciple of St. John the Apostle. You know, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast during the Last Supper, told by John himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 23. That reclining on Jesus' breast was not only an intimate gesture of friendship, it was symbolic of how John was privy to the secrets of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And John subsequently published those secrets in his gospel and his three brief letters and in his baffling book of Revelation. And while John was putting those secrets on papyrus, he was sharing them personally with Polycarp, his disciple. In other words, while we 2 millennia later have to piece together what John meant in his gospel, letters, and revelation, Polycarp could just ask him directly. You know, it's a great pleasure to read a great book, but wouldn't it be nice if the author himself read the book to you and you could stop him and ask him questions? Another reason Polycarp may be odd but not obscure is that he constitutes the link in the chain at the end of public revelation. What does that mean, public revelation? Well, Jesus Christ came not only to save us by his life, death, and resurrection, he also came to give us the good news, the gospel of salvation. That is, he not only saved us, but he gave us specific instructions on how to be saved, how to get what he did. And I will give you one guess to whom he entrusted those specific instructions about salvation. That's right, to the 12 apostles, and the beloved apostle being John. In other words, everything Jesus did, how he did it, and why he did it, is the totality we call public revelation. And the 12 apostles are integral and inseparable from that public revelation because they articulated it into words. So when does public revelation officially end? With the death of the last apostle. And I'll give you one guess who the last apostle to die was. That's right, St. John. That is, all Jesus did, how he did it, and why he did it, ceased when John the Apostle took his last breath. And Polycarp was there to hear it from his own lips and pass on that public revelation to the next generation after the apostles had all died. Here's the practical upshot of the end of all public revelation at John's death. It means there is nothing new that will be revealed for us to be saved. Let me be even more practical. Lots of people have various devotions to Mary, her apparitions, and devotions to great saints. Some people go so far as to say, we must believe in this or that apparition of Mary, or read some mystical book of a saint in order to be saved. Bunk. It may be useful and helpful to believe in Marian apparitions, but they are not necessary to be saved. Everything we need to know to be saved was signed, sealed, and delivered when the last apostle died. And Polycarp personally witnessed the end of all public revelation. Besides being a bishop, Polycarp was also a martyr who died for his faith in Jesus. Apparently, public revelation was more precious than Polycarp's own life. Last night, Deacon Christopher and I started watching the movie The Mission. It stars Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons as Jesuit missionaries in South America. The movie opens with a riveting scene of a Jesuit priest tied to a cross and pushed down a river, a huge torrential river, and finally is plunged over a waterfall to his death. But did that death serve as a warning and make the Jesuits keep away? Not at all. Even more Jesuits came and converted the people to Christ. As I watched the initial conversions of South American people to the Christian and Catholic faith, I couldn't help but think of our Hispanics here at IC. They are the descendants of those people initially converted by brave Jesuit priests and martyrs. Their faith is so deep, they even come to Mass where they cannot even understand the language of the liturgy or a word the priest is saying. They probably did not understand a word of this homily. Who would ever go to a Mass like that? And those Jesuit martyrs were just walking in the footsteps of St. Polycarp, who passed on the good news of public revelation with his life and with his death. Now, wouldn't you want to name your baby Polycarp? Praised be Jesus Christ.